John chapter 11 and verse 17. John chapter 11 and verse 17. I want to thank Sister Davis for helping me out just with everything, working behind the scenes and helping my wife and I. I want to thank her so much for that. Then when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. Many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? Verse 27, last scripture, she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. I want to use this passage and delve into a thought that God has really been wrestling in my spirit just this past week, and I feel that God is gonna help somebody today. I want to preach on this subject this evening, the God in grave clothes. The God in grave clothes. And can you lift up your hands where you are? Lay your Bibles down. Let's ask God to have his way. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for these precious people. Lord, I'm asking for you to meet needs today. God, I thank you for what you've already done. I'm thankful for your grace upon this meeting. I'm thankful for your grace upon this meeting. God, give me the words to speak. Give me the thoughts to think. Help me to deliver somebody, God, out of the pit, out of the chaos, out of the struggle. Minister in a deep way as only you can. Open the floodgates of heaven over your people, God. Rend chains, Lord. Lord, if you would just rend the heavens and come down, that would just be such a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you clap your hands to the Lord? And you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Somebody shout yes.
Yes.
Somebody shout see.
Sí.
¿Dónde están mis hermanos y mis hermanos en español? Posible esta noche, estoy predicando esta noche para usted solo en español. I said, possibly tonight I'll preach only in Spanish for them. That wouldn't be good, huh? That, just the God in grave clothes. The Gospel of John is a very unique and in-depth gospel. Much of it is very unique to the other three gospels. The other three gospels, they come into some chronological form. Matthew beginning with the birth of Jesus. Mark beginning with the ministry of Jesus, Luke beginning with the cousin of Jesus, but John doesn't fall into that form. John just states, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Saying long before there was a birth, long before there was a ministry, long before there was John the Baptist, it began in heaven. It began before an angel ever fluttered its wing. It began before there was ever a streets of gold. It began before any of that. It was just a thought. It was just a thought that he is the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The thought, the plan of salvation that began, that was in the mind of God before Adam was ever created. And it's amazing, before man ever got in trouble, God already had a way out before they ever got in trouble. That's just God stuff. That's just God stuff. When you get in trouble and you say oops, and he's like, I saw your oops before the oops came. I actually gifted you the language to say oops. What do you do with a God like that? That's just sovereign, that just knows everything. Because before time existed, before creation existed, it was just God all by himself with a thought. It was just the mind of God that was at play. And one writer said that in the beginning, before the earth was created, that God counseled with himself. You know, you have to be lonely when you got to counsel with yourself. You're never more like God than when you talk to yourself. Yes. Counsels with himself, because before the earth is created, there is no concept of revelation. Revelation is to reveal. There's no one for God to reveal himself to. So he creates the earth to be the sole avenue of revelation. That the heavens declare the glory of God. That the Godhead is plainly seen by nature. And he had this thought, and he created the earth for one purpose, and that was to praise him, to reveal him. That's the only reason the earth is here. Everything is in place to lead you, general revelation, to a discovery of him. He is not his creation, but he uses his creation to help you discover him. General revelation is where you see the grass, you see the fields, you see the oceans, the streams, the valley, you see the hammerhead shark. You know, God had to be creative, you know. A platypus. Like, God, come on, God, what you doing? What you doing? What you doing making anteaters and stuff? And just God just getting fancy. Just throwing it together. Come on, somebody. Grouper and stuff. Y'all not hearing me. But through his creation, you start thinking, hold on, this isn't happenstance, this isn't normal, this isn't coincidence. Somebody had to create this. So that's general revelation. It provokes thought of who God is. And then there's something called special revelation. Special revelation is not where you come close to God because you say, hold on, there has to be a creator. But special revelation is when God reveals himself and says, I am Jehovah Jireh. And when you need healing and he's like, well, I am Jehovah Rapha, your healer. And then you need victory, I am Jehovah Nisi, your victory. That's not general revelation. You can't get that on earth. You can only get that from heaven. That has to be revealed. You can't get so smart that you can get God. Come on. God can only be reached by him revealing. And so John goes back to the beginning. He has to go back to the beginning because he has an assignment to reveal God's divinity. That Jesus is not just man, but he's God. That he is the Theanthropos, the God-man. that he's fully God and fully man. He has to do this. If you notice in John, you see John the Baptist say things that you don't see in any other gospel. Like John saying, he must increase and I must decrease. Why is John, the Apostle John, writing about John the Baptist being so humble in that way? Here's why. Because John, the Apostle John, had to show, he was writing from Ephesus, he had to show the people that John the Baptist was human. Because John the Baptist still had followers for several decades after John the Baptist died. And you see that in Acts 19. They were still getting baptized unto the baptism of John. So they were getting a mythological image of who John the Baptist was. So when John writes, he makes sure that John says, I am not the light. I have just come to bear witness of the light. He wanted to show his humanity and how he was just there to prepare the way. Because in Ephesus, there was a strong following on John the Baptist. John is emphasizing the divinity of Jesus Christ and also at the same time, his humanity. You see his godness and you see his humanity. Now, what's crazy about this chapter is that, and I'm building, give me some time, y'all. Y'all ready for me to just... Y'all ready for me to jump off of here, amen? I'm coming, amen, I'm coming. But this text about Lazarus, it only exists in John. Why would he put it here, inspired by the Holy Ghost? Because there are some complexities with this text because Jesus always visited Lazarus' home. He was comfortable visiting Lazarus' house. He always would stay in his house in Bethany. Now, here's my thing. If me and Jesus are close, then that has to mean I'm stormproof. Like no hell should be coming in my life if I got Jesus staying in my house. That's just how I think. That's just how I think. Like, if hell comes, hey, I want to take everything. I'm be like, hey, Jesus, come get him. Come get him. Not today, devil. Not today, devil. No. Me and Jesus are like, we go way back. But this is the contradiction because Lazarus is close to Jesus. And his family is close to Jesus, yet that is the house where death occurs. And that is a complexity because some people believe that if you're close to God, that you'll never go through anything. That if you're close to God, that you'll never go through a storm. That if you're close to God, that you'll never battle with sickness. That you'll never battle with depression. That you'll never battle with your family if you're close to God. But Jesus' presence does not guarantee that a storm won't come. But it does guarantee you'll make it through. It does guarantee that you'll come out better. It does guarantee that he'll wipe the tears off of your eyes. It does guarantee that he can raise you up to come out of it better than you went in. I've come to preach guilt off of somebody's shoulders because you've been wondering what's wrong with you because you've been in a struggle for a while. But your struggle doesn't mean that you're far away from God. As a matter of fact, many times the closer you are to God, that's the more that you go through a test. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. Amen. Your situation does not mean that you and God are not close. As a matter of fact, who he loves, he chastens. Who he loves, he wants to teach. He wants to give you revelation of who he is. And one of the birthing places of revelation is in the storm. It's in the storm you discover your humanity and your inadequacy. But you see him walking on the water. You see him saying, "Peace be still." You see him in a way that you've never seen him before. So you have been trusted with a depth and intimacy with God that no one else gets. I mean, think about it. Jesus, he's the one that we want to follow. Think about it. He starts his ministry at 30. The voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved son, whom I am well pleased." Next verse, "And immediately the spirit driveth him into the wilderness." Sometimes the spirit will drive you into a rough place when he's pleased with you. Sometimes the spirit will drive you into a rough place, a wilderness of isolation and loneliness and brokenness, not because of what's wrong with you, but because of what's right with you. It's not because of how bad you are, it's because of how good you are. It's not because you're on the wrong track, but it's because you're on the right track. My Lord. And so they are close to God, yet they find themselves in a storm. They have a relationship with God, yet Lazarus is sick. And John has the audacity to write after Lazarus is sick. He writes, oh my. "Now Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus." Here's my thought. If you love me, if you love me, I have a love language, Lord. And that is no hell. No conflict, no trouble. But he loves Lazarus. And he loves him so much, this is going to mess you up. As soon as he hears the news that he is about to die, he stands still. My, that don't look like love. But what did 1 Corinthians 13 say? Love is patient. Love is patient. Oh, we don't like that. Because when I'm in a struggle, I'm like, "Jesus, Jesus, 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 Jesus." So he hit the high notes. Jesus. But he loved them so much, he wouldn't move quickly. Wow. Because love waits for the most opportune moment that God's going to get glory. And God gets more glory out of Lazarus resurrecting than Lazarus being healed while he's sick. So love will hold back until you get in a position where he knows he's about to get glory.
Oh.
Love is patient. My God, Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Jesus, God in the flesh, loved from the beginning. And so love was in the mind of God whenever he created the world. And he sees Cain kill Abel. And love wants to step in, but he holds back. It's not time to reveal my fullness yet. He sees in Genesis 6, Noah and all the imaginations of men are only evil continually. And love wants to step in and it's full manifestation, but he holds back because man isn't ready yet. He wants to step in when the prophets were being persecuted. He wants to step in while Jeremiah is crying. He's wanting to step in while Isaiah is prophesying. But love waited until the fullness. fullness of time. And when the fullness of time,
my God in heaven,
when the fullness of time had come, he was born to destroy the works of the devil. And in 33 years of life, he destroyed thousands of years of sin.
God in heaven.
Because love waits for the most opportune moment. Think about it. 30 years, he doesn't do a miracle. 30 years, Jesus doesn't do a miracle. Jesus' ministry only lasts 3.5 years. We only know that because of the writings of John and the Passover. But here he is, 30 years, Jesus does nothing. He doesn't open a blinded eye. He doesn't unstop a deaf ear. He does none of that. But here he is growing up. God in the flesh has the power to heal now. But look what he does. He watches the blind man pass. Him, and he's wrestling on the inside of him because it's not his time yet. He can't help anybody yet. He watches the lame man as they carry him, and he may be 28 years old, but it's not his time yet. So love just keeps holding back. Here he goes. He watches the demon possessed walk in front of him for 30 years, but love doesn't do anything. It just waits in the shadows for the most opportune moment. And as he's watching the blind pass him, and as he's watching the deaf pass him, and as he's watching the corruption of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, love waits until finally there was a moment that came that he said, I'm ready. And in 3.5 years, he changed the whole world. In 3.5 years, he affected time and eternity. Love is patient.
Okay.
He waits. And when he waits, this is interesting, because now Lazarus dies. And now he has been dead 4 days. Listen to this. This is profound to me. Because my focus in this message is upon Martha and Jesus' conversation, because it exposes something that you and I need help with today. And that's what I want to preach on. And I got a burden in my heart to get this to you today. Because Martha comes to Jesus and she says, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. The first way I want to compliment Martha is that she had the courage, here it is, to ask for help. The number one book on philosophy is a very short read. It's about 15 to 20 minutes. It tells the story of a boy, a fox, a mole, and a horse. And as he talks about this story, these figures develop a relationship, and the mole, all the mole wants is cake, and the boy, all the boy wants is adventure, and all the fox wants is the mole. And then the horse comes in, and the horse is that symbol of strength. And they asked the horse the question. They said, What have you said? What is the bravest thing that you've ever said? And the horse responded, help. And that was the bravest thing he ever said, help. And then he said, asking for help is not a sign of giving up. It's a sign you're still in the fight. See, if two armies are battling and one of the armies are getting depleted, that army has two options. It could either surrender or ask for help. That's what I'm trying to tell you. See, help doesn't mean you've given up. It means you're still holding on. But we have made that very taboo in church because church has become like the land of pretend. Nothing's wrong with me. Praise the Lord. Because somehow we feel if we're vulnerable with our struggle, that even God won't want to deal with us. So we put on the church face. On the way to church, look, this is you the whole time on the way to church. God, I don't know how I'm going to do it. Watch, as soon as you pull up in the church parking lot, look at you, look. What's going on, everybody? You good? And we pretend like we're okay, but when we pretend, we delay our healing. It is time to be honest and vulnerable with God so he can come in and heal. And when you ask for help, help is on the way. Oh, somebody clap your hands. Amen. See, people get nervous when they come to church. They're scared to really cry because you know Sister So-and-so probably going to come pray for you. Come on. And, so you got to pretend. Look at you in the back. Look. But I'm telling you, those tears don't mean you're weak. It means you're strong. It means you're being led to the rock that's higher than you. It means that you are confessing that you can't do it and only he can do it. So I commend Martha for going to him, asking for help. But she has a petition here. She says, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. How many of us have ever prayed that prayer? God, if you would have been here, my mom wouldn't have died. If you just would have showed up in the past, then I wouldn't have been taken advantage of. If you would have just showed up in the past, you could have done something in my ministry. You could have done something in my marriage. You could have done something in my family. If you would have just showed up. She has an amazing faith in God concerning the past, if you had been here. And then Jesus says, this is the message here, because Jesus says, thy brother shall rise again. Listen to this. And Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. This is where we're at. Martha has faith for God in her past, and she has faith in God for her future, but she has no faith for today. She has a faith believing about what God did and what God could have done. And she has a faith about what God will do. But she has zero faith for what God can do today. If you would have been here, if you would have been here. He said, well, your brother shall rise again. And she said, yeah, I know in the future. I know in the future, I know in the future, I know in the future, I know in the future. And here's the issue. The issue is that those grave clothes that they wrapped Lazarus in, when you wrap someone in grave clothes, you did it for two reasons. You wrap them in grave clothes to preserve the body. I'm going to preach right now. To preserve the history of the body. My God. And the other reason that she wrapped Lazarus in those grave clothes was to prepare his body for the resurrection. And so she believed in the grave clothes, that God can move in the past and that God can move in the future, but she didn't believe him for today. And I've got good news for you. You don't serve a God which was and only which is to come, but you serve a God that is. You serve a God that is a very present help in the time of trouble. You serve a God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the God of today. But what happens is we wrap God up in grave clothes because we talk about how good he's been in our history. Oh, God did. I remember what God did. I remember what God did. I remember what God did. And then you say, oh, this is what's going to happen in the future. There's not going to be any weeping in heaven. There's not going to be any brokenness in heaven. That is wonderful that there's not going to be any weeping in the future. But I need heaven to come down today. I need heaven to come and visit my tears today. I need a manifestation of the kingdom that is beyond the past and the future. I need him to do something in me now. I got pain in my body right now, and I'm not waiting for heaven to. We believe him. We believe in God for the past. My God, we can get really excited about the past because we know God did that. God did that. God did that. And there's a lot of religions that found their belief on what happened yesterday. But the problem is they talk about everything that happened yesterday. But when you visit those religions today, there's cobwebs on the altars. There's cobwebs everywhere. There's no prayer meetings. There's no revival. There's nothing happening. And so you're trying to keep people with what happened yesterday, but that's not going to keep anybody by what happened, because the world is wondering what's happening. I want to tell you that your God is happening, and if he did it before, he can do it again. If he healed before, he can heal again. If he See, there's a lot of religions that were found, and it's all about what happened. And this theologian from the 1800s, and this theologian from the 1500s, and this theologian from the 1300s, and this council from 800 AD, this and that, and this and that is that. But then you walk into the sanctuary, and it's dead. You can't feel anything because they've left God in the past, and they still got belief about God in the past. And there's other religions that are founded upon the concept of the future. Hey, don't worry. It's going to be great over there. Oh, it's going to be awesome there. Oh, it's going to be awesome. That's wonderful. But I need something today. I am in depression today. I am sick today. I am suffering today. So I need God to be my right now God. I need God to be my present help. So you have to get a revelation that God is a right now God. That God wants to take care of some situations today. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next camp meeting, not for the youth camps, but today. You've got to get belief in your heart for today. But when you start talking about today, everybody starts getting nervous. Because hold on, it is easier to believe for the past. Oh, I'm going to preach now. And it's easier to believe for the future. You see, what Martha was doing was she was covering up her lack of faith now. Over by using the future. My God, God will, God will, God will. But Jesus looked at her and said, I am the resurrection. The resurrection is standing right in front of you, and I want to do something in you right now. I wish somebody would clap their hands for now. I want you to clap your hands like you could get healed now. I want you to clap your hands like you can get delivered now. Now, faith.
We've wrapped them. You see, God is not dead, but we've just wrapped them in grave clothes. He's not dead, but we've just put some grave clothes on him that he could only do it yesterday and he can only do it tomorrow. But we don't have any belief for today. But if you ever get a revelation that your God is a right now God, if you spell now backwards, it literally spells one. If you learn that God is the God right now, you'll get a revelation that you already won. You'll get a revelation you got victory. You'll get a revelation that you got increase. You'll get a revelation.
I said
he could do it today. I said he could take the pain out of your body today. I said he could take the anxiety out of your spirit today. I said he can open up the windows of heaven for you today. I said he can heal you right now today. He is a right now God. He is a very present help.
Now.
God is the God of now. God is the God of today. God is the God of this moment. You see, what I'm trying to preach to you is that we're not serving an old God from yesterday, and we're not serving a future God of tomorrow. I'm telling you, you can feel his presence today. See, what happens in religion is that people start thinking that God is abstract. See, when God isn't moving today, God becomes an abstract thought. Meaning, yes, I go to church, but it's out of religion. It's out of just a bunch of obligation. I am going, but I don't expect anything. I'm going, but I don't expect anything different. I'm going to do my same little jig. I'm going to do my same little praise, but I'm not expecting God to do something today. You see, when God doesn't move today, it becomes an abstract thought where God is out there, but my life is right here. God is out there, but he can't take care of my work. God is out there, but he can't take care of my marriage. God is out there, but he can't take care of my kids. But I have come in the Holy Ghost to bring God out of the abstract and bring him right down into the middle of your life and tell you he's still your God today. Somebody clap. I need somebody to clap. I need somebody to shout if you believe it. I need somebody to dance if you believe it. I need somebody to praise if you believe it. I need somebody to shout.
See, this is what makes hell nervous, because if you don't embrace your God being the God of today, we forget why we praise, and praise just becomes something ritualistic that we do, that even we may not feel God, but we know this is what we do. But we cannot forget the beginnings of where praise came from, because he said, I will inhabit the praises of Israel. I will inhabit the praises of my people. You see, what happens is when you clap, is you begin to pull on heaven to come down where you are right now. What happens when you shout is you begin to pull on heaven. Hey, it's not a religion thing. This is a Bible thing. It is biblical to clap. It is biblical to shout. It is biblical to dance.
I'm in a PhD in Bible exposition, working hard on that in Greek and Hebrew every week. But I remember several years ago, you got to catch what I'm saying here. I remember several years ago that I was in a master's program. It was in 2018. I was in Ketchikan, Alaska. And I was studying the Koine Greek in my hotel before I had to go preach. Listen, folks. And as I'm studying the Koine Greek, I close my book, I come out, and when I come out, there were people shooting up right outside of my hotel. They were doing drugs. They were drug addicts. They were broken people. They were hurting. They needed help. And as I was walking near them, while they're hurting and suffering, about 10, 15 people right outside of my hotel where I just got done studying Koine Greek, God said, "You think your Greek's going to help them?" He said, "Go ahead and give them a Greek word and see if they care." He said, "The only thing that can transform them is the power of the Holy Ghost." So let me tell you something. And so I believe in being well studied. I spend hours and hours every week studying. I believe in this text. But can I tell you, 99% of my professors at this school that I go to never seen a miracle. But they'll give you the Greek and the Hebrew. They'll give you this, they'll give you that. But he's wrapped in grave clothes, isn't he? Talking about what God did, 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 forgetting that he's the God of today. And it's amazing to believe that he's the God of today who have you labeled as a radical. Like, I believe God. Watch it. If you say, "I believe God yesterday," oh, go at it, chap. If you say it's the God of tomorrow about heaven, oh yeah, there's gonna be heaven, isn't there? Yeah. But you say, no, I believe God will heal your body right now. So why is this story in here? It's because they wrapped Lazarus up in grave clothes. Listen, and Jesus comes and he wants to do something. But now Martha still uses the past and says, "Lord, he's been dead 4 days. By this time, he stinks." Again, I believed you could do it yesterday. But you know what he says? Roll away the stone. And look what he says. Loose him and let him go. Meaning, listen, I will do my part. I'll resurrect them. That's divinity. But humanity has to take off the grave clothes. You see, it's amazing that God did a miracle in Lazarus. But he's hopping around. Can't see his face and he can't walk. Now, this is what's interesting about Lazarus. His name means God is my helper. God is my help is wrapped in grave clothes. Because they believe him being a past help and a future help. But God's just waiting on somebody to say, "God is my help, come forth." Hey! Lazarus, come forth. And when he spoke a word into the spirit of Lazarus, he rose up and he said, "Now take the grave clothes off of him. I can still move today. I can still resurrect today. I can still open a door today. I can still heal today." Today, God is my helper, wrapped up in grave clothes. And we believe him for past help, we believe him for future help, but present help, whoo, it's difficult. But let me tell you something. There's a bunch of people in this place today that say, "You know what?
I'm taking God out of the grave clothes. Because in my own mind, I put grave clothes on him. That he's there for preserving history, and he's there for heaven. But God said, I want to be your God today. I want to heal your body today. And can I tell you something? And you don't have to earn it. Somebody take a deep breath right there. Because I heard somebody's spirit say, but how can I earn this? You can't earn it. All you could do is just believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Today. Today. God's not just wrapped up in that book. He's not just wrapped up in some heaven that we won't see until we're up there. But you know what heaven says? Heaven says, you know what? When I see the Holy Ghost in you, the Bible says that angels desire to look into it. That heaven is attracted to now. Heaven is attracted to suddenly, in a moment. Everybody stand. I come to you not with enticing words of men's wisdom. I come to you in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith and your wisdom is not put in me, but it is put into the power of God. Now, I can feel the excitement. I want you to take a moment, and I just want you to praise God right now. Come on, that's it. You got it. You got the real thing. You got the real thing. You got it. Hatalalabuhushataya. Hikalalabuhushataya. Now let me tell you what's about to happen. God is about to heal your body today. I'm going to tell you what's about to happen. Whatever pain that you have had in your body, whatever sickness, whatever ailment, God is going to take care of it today. He's going to take care of it today. He's going to take care of it today. He's about to take care of it right now. Wherever the pain it has been in your back, in your body, in your whatever it has been, God is about to take care of it today. And it's not going to be something where it's like, oh, I think, or watch this, I think, or I claim. No, you're going to know. You're going to know. If you have a sickness or a pain in your body, I want you to lift up your hand right now where you are. If you have a sickness or a pain in your body, only those with a sickness or a pain in your body, I want you to lift up your hands where you are. Look at these needs. Look at these needs. Look at these needs. I want you to gather around somebody with their hand lifted. I'm going to tell you what to do in a moment, but I want you to get around somebody with their hand lifted right now, because God's about to move right now through your hands in a moment. I want you to hear me for a second. I am going to pray a prayer of faith over you. I'm going to release the gift of faith. I'm going to command the pain to leave immediately. I'm going to release the working of miracles. And when I'm done praying over you, I'm going to shout to the top of my lungs, hallelujah. Everyone say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want you to say it louder. Let me tell you what's about to happen. When I'm done praying this prayer of faith over you, I'm going to shout to the top of my lungs, hallelujah. When I shout hallelujah, I want everyone in here with everything in you to shout hallelujah with everything in you. It's a shout of triumph. And let me tell you what's going to happen. When you shout hallelujah, some of you are going to feel a coolness come over your body. You're going to feel your body immediately different in a moment. Some of you are going to feel a warmth over your body. The lingering pain that's been in your body the last 20 to 50 years, God is about to take it away in a moment. When I shout hallelujah, I want you to shout it with everything in you. And I want you to see yourself being healed. I want you to see yourself worshiping without pain. I want you to see yourself moving, healed and whole in the name of the Lord. That's it. I want you to lift up those hands. Lift up those hands from the front to the back. By the authority that is in the Word of God, and by the power that is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command your body to be healed now in the name of Jesus Christ. I release the working of miracles and the gifts of healing in your body now. I release the gift of faith. I command the cancer to leave. I command the tumor to leave. I command the pain in your back and in your legs and in your feet to leave right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I command the depression and the anxiety to leave now in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, be healed now. Hallelujah. That's it, be healed right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it, lay your hands on somebody near you and speak healing. Lay your hands on somebody near you and speak a miracle. Be healed.
healed now in the name of Jesus. I curse that pain in your body never to return again. I speak deliverance now in the name of Jesus. I command strength to come into your body right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I command your daughter to be healed. I command your son to be healed. I command your husband to be healed now. I command your wife to be healed now. That's it. Lay your hands on them. I feel somebody being made whole right now. I feel somebody getting delivered right now. I feel God touching somebody right now. Come on, that's it. Lay your hands on somebody near you right now and begin to speak the word of faith over them. Begin to speak the word of faith over them. You're never going to be the same. God's healing you right now. God's healing you today. You're not going to walk out of this place the same way that you walked in. You may have came in limping, but you're going out shouting. You may have come in depressed, but you're coming out with the power of God. From the front to the back, I want you to give God a praise of triumph. I want you to clap your hands with everything in you. I want you to shout with everything in you. And some of you are being healed right now while you're clapping. Some of you are being healed right now while you're shouting. Some of you are being healed right now while you're jumping. Someone's being kalabo shandalela makaya lalabo osaya. Haba hasaya. Now, if you felt an immediate difference in your body, can you lift up a hand? Here's what I want you to do. For those of you that felt an immediate difference in your body, I want you to come up on this platform. If you felt God heal you, I want you to come up on this platform for a moment. If you felt God immediately heal you, you know there's a difference. I want you to come up on this platform if you felt a difference. Can you clap your hands for these that are coming? These are miracles. These are miracles. These are miracles. These are miracles. Come on, this is what your God did today. This is what your God did today. They're still coming. That's it. Let's make some room. Let's make some room. Let's make some room. That's it. Come back a little bit. That's it. That's it. You can come on a little bit. Watch the speaker. Come on. That's it. They're still coming. That's it. Come on up. They're still coming. They're still coming. They're still coming. this is what your God did. I said, this is what your God did. I said, your God is real. I said, your God is real. Your God is faithful. Your God is true. Hey, hey, somebody take a praise break right now. This is what Jesus did. This is what Jesus did.
My God.
Now, one moment. What I'm presenting to you, founded upon the Word of God, is that your God is not afraid to be tested. Your God is not afraid to be tried. Your God is willing to put His name on the line. Come on, I said, God is willing to put His name on the line. Hallelujah! Where was the pain?
My lower back.
How long?
Going on 8 years.
Is the pain completely gone?
Yes. And I have a torn meniscus in my leg.
And she has a torn meniscus, but her leg isn't hurting anymore. There's no more pain. Hey! Jesus did that today!